Okay, the recorder is on, and we're doing NTI Hebrews chapter 7 tonight, which in my Kindle is showing up on page 405. How are you guys? 405. Is that what you said, or did you say 4? 405?
5.
5, okay. Melchizedek. Does anybody else say that differently?
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek symbolizes the Holy Spirit within you, which you have also met. You know this Holy Spirit. You have met it many times, and you recognize its love. Notice the Bible says that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. This is also a symbol of the beginning of the process of awakening. For when one-tenth of your attention is given to the Holy Spirit within, you have begun the process of awakening with the fluttering of your eyes. But one-tenth of your mind given to awakening is only one-tenth of everything, which means everything is not focused on who you are. I ask you to be willing to accept the Holy Spirit as the voice of your truth. Be willing to give everything to the voice that represents all that you truly are. Well, I perceive that as pretty clear. What do you think, Dan?
It's a pretty tall order.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. You know, obviously what it's encouraging us to do is, well, for lack of better words, I'm going to say more than we're doing now. You know, just keep doing more. I remember when I worked in the business world, we always had what we called stretch goals. I hated those stretch goals because I felt like I was working my butt off. I was doing everything I could, and now they're moving the goal out further. But you know what amazes me is I actually met my stretch goals every year. It also reminds me when I was in third grade. When I was in third grade, we had this field day. You know how at the end of the school year you have a field day? And I was trying to do the long jump, and I kept only jumping like a couple of feet, not very far at all. And the teacher came over and said, you know, what's going on? And I said, I can't jump. And she says, well, where do you want to jump to? And so I pointed, I wanted to jump to the 3 feet. And she said, well, if you want to jump there, you got to look there. And she pointed to the 4 feet, you know. So there's something about, you know, if we can do it again without that pesky thing that we call self-judgment, there's actually something positive about always reaching for more than what seems to be the best we can do, right? But again, you got to do it without that judgment. That's the hard thing. So many people can't let go of that judgment. But, you know, this is the best I did yesterday, but today I'd like to do a little better, and the next day a little better, and the next day a little better in a very positive way. And you just keep increasing that, and you don't be satisfied, again, without judgment. You got to do all this without judgment. You don't be satisfied with your current level of practice. And I know that people have trouble with this without judgment because sometimes I'll talk about myself that way. I'll say, okay, you know, I'm just not satisfied. I wanna do more. And people are like, oh my God, if you gotta do more, Regina, what about me? And you know, you know, but it's the attitude that it's helpful if we all have it. Just always stretching more and more and more, right? Until something pops, till the rubber band breaks. Right? Keep stretching, stretching, stretching until the rubber band breaks. And when the rubber band breaks, then you're free. Yeah. So he's saying it's really nice to give a tenth. That's good. Now how about some more? How about some more? Verses 4 to 10. What you give to the Holy Spirit is given for everyone and for everything. Because you are everyone and everything. Everything that you give for healing is given for the healing of all. There is one mind. Within dreams, one mind seems to be many, but that is pure illusion. As your one mind is given to the purpose of light, all minds are given to the purpose of light. Because there are not all minds, there is only one. Now, we've talked about this before, so this is not new information to you. But one thing that we did at the Santa Barbara retreat recently with Timothy Conway, he had us do an exercise kind of like eye gazing. Has everybody done eye gazing where you stare into somebody's eyes? But the difference is, when we were doing the eye gazing this time, is he was coaching us as we were gazing. We weren't just staring. There was a coach there speaking to us. And what he was coaching us to do was to be aware of our own awareness, the awareness that was looking out into the other person's eyes. And then after, and he coached us until we became very, very clear. I think everybody became very focused on that awareness. And then he asked us to realize that that was the same awareness looking at us. Yeah. And as he coached us, you know, he coached us so well that you could really feel, at least I could, and I assume everyone else could, or at least many of them, you could really feel in a palatable, intuitive way that there's only one awareness. Like if you had a light, a big light that somehow you were able to put many different little cups on with holes, right? The hot light would start shining out of the holes of all the different cups, but it's still only one light. And so you got that strong, strong sense of your own awareness and the realization that it was the same awareness here, here with the other person, looking back at you. And so that's really what this is saying also. It's saying there's no such thing as all minds. You know, there may be what appears to be many different bodies, but there's really only one awareness. And that awareness is looking through everyone. And one thing I like to do, now I'm going to be telling a secret right here with Francine, now is like a part of my family. And so my family members I do this with the most, which means I do it with Francine as well. One game that I like to play is I like to listen to Francine or Jasmine or Danielle or Ron or anybody. Listen to them just being who they are personality-wise. But I like to focus on the fact that there's awareness there going through this filter of personality and coming out looking like that. And I just think, you know, I listen to them, you know, but what I'm paying attention to is the, you could call it the filtering process. That the awareness, when it shines through that Francine mind, it comes out like that. And the same awareness, when it shines through that Jasmine mind, it comes out like that. And I spend time contemplating that while I'm watching my family and closest friends, you know, seeming to be who they are. And it's an amazing, amazing practice because in effect, when you're doing that, your attention is always on the awareness. Yeah. I was watching Jasmine tonight. She was telling me all about this boy at school. And she was getting very animated, like teenage girls do. And I was just watching. Wow, look how that is working, how that awareness is shining through that teenage girl mind, that filter, and coming out like this. And so, again, you know, it's a wonderful way to contemplate, whether you do it the way Timothy coached us, which is first contemplating your own awareness until you're really, really strong here with your own awareness, and then just realize that that same awareness is the one that's looking out at you, or whether you do what I do, kind of contemplate the filtering process that's happening, you know, while your family is talking, you know. But either way, you're contemplating awareness. And the more that you contemplate awareness, the stronger and stronger that's going to be in your own experience, and more frequent. So yeah, now you can stare at me and do the same thing I'm doing when I stare at you. Right? Yeah, nobody knew until now that I do that, so now the secret is out. I do that with everyone, though. You know, I do that with Lynn, I do that with Jacqueline, just everybody that I know. Huh?
Have you ever looked at somebody doing something that's very skillful and also entertaining, Olympic competitive, like high diving or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're seeing, so would you draw a parallel to that?
I don't understand.
You ever seen the universe come through somebody? Like, here's an example, Tina Turner. She used to be like,
yes,
very, like, the way she danced, you could tell was somehow the force of nature was, or the universe was knowing itself in a very, very energetic and also
amazing,
compelling way. So,
yeah. Well, you know, something else that jumped out at me just the other day, last Sunday, was it 2 days ago that I did the gathering? Must have been a week and 2 days ago that I did the gathering. I played a song, John Denver's Sweet Surrender, in my last gathering. And one line that I've heard before, but it just, I heard it differently this time, it jumped out at me. He says, "This life is worth living." And when that jumped out at me, what I saw in that moment was, again, that awareness, almost simultaneously through everyone I've ever known. And I'm trying to figure out, what I saw is that there are no accidents, that every single one of us, whether it's Tina Turner or you or Francine or Priscilla or something, every single one of us are playing, how do I say this? I don't want to say playing the roles, because we've used those words before. We're dancing the dance that we're supposed to dance. You know, every single solitary one of us. And, you know, one clarity I had before, which returned, was that if we're not awakening right now, you know, lots of people get worried, I'm not awakening right now, I want to wake, I want to wake, I want to wake. But you're dancing the dance you're supposed to dance. You know, so if you're not awake right now, it's because the universe or the life force or whatever you want to call it still wants to have this experience of not awake through you. So the best thing that you can do is enjoy being danced and stop trying to dance a certain way. Stop trying to say, "I don't want to dance as the asleep person. I want to dance as an enlightened person." No. In fact, every one of you guys right now, you're dancing as someone awakening. That's like a flower blossoming. That's a wonderful thing. And so you still do your practice because that's what you're called to do, right? I mean, you can't stop your dance, to be honest. You can only think about it. You're going to dance the dance you're going to dance. So why not just relax and enjoy it? Because every life is worth living. You know, every person is being what they're supposed to be, for lack of better words. You know, because what's moving through you is moving you in exactly the way you're being moved. So it's just, you know, stop worrying about stuff. Just relax and let it happen.
And like you said a couple of sentences back, we're in the process of awakening. I think that's where everybody's at, and to whatever degree.
Yes.
But I think everybody is.
Yes. You could see the whole world is one great big flower blossoming in its own way. Somehow, that realization doesn't change anything, and yet it changes everything. Because you're not going to do anything differently. You're only going to feel differently about what you're doing.
Kind of like what Marianne Williamson would always say about an experience. The experiences or the crisis isn't what is bothering you or whatever. It's the way you experience the experience.
Yeah.
Just kind of what you were just saying.
Yeah.
There. Just change the way it speaks to us, I guess, or we hear it speak to us.
I remember the first time I had this realization was when I spoke to an enlightened teacher. Since I couldn't talk to Michael Langford, I called this other enlightened teacher. And at that point, I wanted to be awake. Then I wanted to wake up like everybody else. I wanted to be awake. And I was a little frustrated that I wasn't awake. And so I called this teacher hoping that she could help me. And she asked me if I meditated. And I said, no. I said, I've tried. I said, but what happens is I fall asleep. I said, I contemplate. I can contemplate for hours, but I can't meditate. And she said something like, whoa, well, if you can't meditate, you're not ready. And I remember for a week, it shocked me. I was like, what? And for a week, I was flabbergasted. And then I watched a video of her. And something that she said in that video hit me in a completely different way. It was like, it's not that I'm not ready. It's that God is still playing asleep through me. And when I heard it that way, it's not my eyes like, oh, well, if God doesn't want to wake up, why should I worry about it? I mean, that changed everything, you know? And it's funny, it was the same teacher. I just heard her differently in the video. It's like, oh, I get it. Well, then it's, you know, then. And so, and since then, there's been a more relaxed attitude. You know, everything I do, in fact, what's really changed for me is that everything I do, even though I just use those words, I do, I don't feel like I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. You're just allowing it.
It's being done through me, if it's a good way of saying it. It kind of reminds me of Mother Teresa saying, I'm just a pencil in the hand of God. It's being done through me. So, you know, I used to think it was me, right? I was doing this. And I still use that language, but I don't actually see that way anymore. I don't feel like I do anything.
Other than allow it,
yeah. And I don't even know if I could fight it. I mean, I think that you can have negative thoughts about what you're doing and suffer, but you're still going to do it. You know? You're just going to say, I don't like doing this. The whole time you're doing it. I wish things were different than they were. The whole time you're doing it, you know? But you're still going to do whatever you're supposed to do. So you might as well get engaged and like it. You know, you might as well enjoy, because you know you can't stop it. You can only have a bad attitude, and then who suffers? You and maybe some of your closest family members, right? If they're not enlightened enough to let it go. So let's see. So we were talking about there is one mind. That's what this whole discussion was about, starting with sentence 6. As you heal every concept and every thought that has ever lived within your mind as the filter of misperception is healed and erased. As the thoughts of misperception are taken away through your decision to perceive with love, all that you perceive is seen differently. New perception is still a dream, but it is an awakened dream, where the light of day has come to kiss the dreams of night awake. Through these dreams you shall awaken. Your eyes will not flutter. You shall not choose another time of sleep. You shall awaken with eyes that are open, finished completely with the idea of sleep. So, of course, what this is talking about is how, as we go through this blooming process, this blossoming process, as we become more and more and more open, we see differently. You know, the exact same situation, the way that, you know, our mind would have interpreted it at one time, it interprets it completely, completely differently. Just everything begins to change. And this is still not what we would call awake. But this is becoming completely open, completely non-resistant, so that when grace comes to awaken you, there's no fight. There's no fight in you. You know, there's no fight at all, because you've just opened to whatever is and you aren't resisting anything anymore. So it's readying yourself. Verses 11 to 17. Let go the thoughts of dreams. The thoughts and beliefs that come from dreams do not lead to awakening. They lead you to be caught up longer within the story of your dreams. Look around you now and listen clearly to what I say. So let's all do this. Let's all look around. Right? I'll read. You guys look around. Okay? Look around you now and listen clearly to what I say. Nothing you see is real. Nothing you see has any real value at all. Realize this is true because it is a dream. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's a resistance, something inside that does not want to believe it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd believe it.
And that perception will change. Someday you won't feel as much resistance. Anybody else have an experience when I was reading that?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
It makes circumstances a lot easier.
Why?
I'm not interested in getting a solution, or I've given up on trying to make things, you know, like work out to make sense. Mm. Because it is a dream, and because by creating a solution, you're actually just going further into the
yes.
dream. Then, if I retire or subtract the solution making
yes.
and the problem solving and the trouble racking, all these types of things, then I'm not judging it, making it real, or I'm not going into the thing. So, you kind of give up on trying that effort to bring it together so that I can be happy
yeah.
and figure out the equation. It's much easier to operate with the understanding this is a dream and it's not. I guess I realize it's never going to work. You're not going to fix it.
And even if you do fix something,
it's fixing a dream.
If you fix something, what happens?
Something else comes along.
Something else comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something replaces it. Yeah, absolutely. So this says that nothing you see has any real value at all. Let me ask you the opposite question. What has real value?
Our real self, the awareness.
Yeah. And as you become more and more and more and more aware of that, then you'll have less and less resistance to the fact that nothing you see has any real value at all.
I felt that my heart was pretty open yesterday. It's funny, the day before, there was a pain there, and I started accepting that pain, and it felt like it was just one spot. And I started accepting that, and I said, well, maybe I'm just tired. But anyway, I was focusing on it, I was aware of it, and accepting it. And I stayed like that for a long time. The next morning I woke up, my heart was so awake, was so open all day, was very open, and I felt, this feels so real. It's so much, you know, so much more real than the world,
yes.
you know?
Yeah. And you know, also, one reason why nothing you see has any, notice this says nothing you see has any real value. Now you gotta look at that word real. You know? It's not saying it doesn't have some value. I mean, when you're hungry, as you know, when you have a body and you're hungry, food has a value. And some foods even have more value than other foods. We all know that. But nothing has any real value at all because nothing is lasting. Nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary.
That's the thought that kept running through my mind when you were reading it, is that it reminded me of this. Everything is just transitory. It's
exactly.
Going to pass, it's going to pass. Just transitory. It doesn't last.
It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it while it's here. It doesn't mean you can't love it while it's here. But it doesn't have any real value. The only thing that has real value is that which is lasting, that which is eternal. And if we attach real value, if I project the idea of real value onto a temporary object, what's going to happen someday?
You're going to lose it.
You're going to suffer. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything passes, right? Everything changes.
So, and Eckhart Tolle used to say, don't ever give 100% to anything. Keep with it.
Yeah, so nothing you see has any real value at all. And now let's go back to the game that I play with Francine and my family, right? Where while they're being them, I'm concentrating on the awareness. Someday, somebody I love is going to die. It actually hasn't happened yet. I mean, I've lost like grandparents and aunts and uncles, but I haven't lost a mother. I haven't lost a father. I haven't lost a sibling. I haven't lost a child, right? Someday somebody's going to die. We all know this. Unless I die first, then it won't happen. That's the only way I'm going to escape it, right? But if I am focused more on the awareness of everyone than I am on the personality, I'm not saying there won't be any sense of loss. But don't you think it's going to be different? Because the awareness is still here. It's here with everyone. You know, that form of how the awareness dances is lost. And if the form is very, very close, there could be some sadness. But at the same time, there's no real loss because the awareness is everywhere in all of these other forms. You see where the difference between real value and not real value?
Yeah.
Right? So nothing you see is real. Nothing you see has any real value at all. Realize this is true because it is a dream. Look within the mind at the thoughts. Oh, I love this paragraph. Look within the mind at the thoughts that make you proud and happy at the thought of being you. Look at those thoughts which you judge as good, which make you feel better or luckier than someone else you know. So I'll just ask everyone to stop before I continue and have you do that for a moment. Every one of us, even if we're someone who doesn't like ourselves, there's actually something about us we do like. You know, so think about that. What makes you luckier than other people, smarter than other people, nicer than other people, more in touch than other people? What is it? You don't have to say it out loud, but just think of it. Have you guys got it? What are you better at than anyone else? Are you having a hard time? There's something. It'll strike you later. Maybe it won't strike you now sitting here thinking, but at some point you'll be doing something and you know, maybe Mike will do something, you'll be like, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that. You go, oh, there it was. I'm glad I'm not like him. Look at that. I think, you know, right?
So we all have
that thought in us that I'm glad, you know, I'm this instead of that, right? We all have that thought. So it says, look within the mind at the thoughts that make you proud and make you happy at the thought of being you. Look at those thoughts which you judge as good, which make you feel better or luckier than someone else you know. Look at those thoughts and listen clearly to what I say. Those thoughts have no value. Those thoughts are nothing but the dust of dreams. Now that's interesting because most people start realizing pretty quickly that they have to let go of the unworthy thoughts. But they don't necessarily realize as quickly that they have to let go of the worthy thoughts. But if you look at those worthy thoughts have a definite sense of separation in them because they're worthy as compared to someone else. I'm nicer than, I'm richer than, I'm prettier than, right? I'm healthier than, I'm smarter than, right? More charitable than, you know? So those thoughts have no value at all. They're not at all helpful. So we're not only being asked to let go of the thoughts that I'm bad, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat, but we're being asked to let go of I'm good, I'm smart, I'm beautiful, I'm in shape. You know? Let go of all of these types of thoughts. None of these thoughts are helpful. Who's the I in those sentences either way?
The separated self.
Yeah. It's the separated false person. And again, where's the real value? The real value is in the awareness that's everyone, right? So you want to let go of those ideas that are focusing on me as this person, whether they're, quote, negative ideas or, quote, positive ideas. Any idea that reinforces that I am this person. And then you want to start playing the game of awareness. You know, start watching the awareness, paying attention to the awareness. Be aware of your own voice speaking. You know? Be aware, watch it, you know, like you're watching a movie. Start focusing on that which has real value, and don't be as concerned about that that doesn't. Whether it's smart or stupid, it doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't. That the awareness, whether you're smart or whether you're stupid, the awareness is the same. You know, it's the same in everyone. So focus on that. Sentence 13 says, can you imagine letting go completely that which you seem to value? Can you imagine closing your eyes and letting it fade completely away? If you can imagine letting it go, feeling peace and no loss in the imagining, you are preparing to wake up from dreams. Can you let go of this person, this experience, or this way of being? Can you let it go that you may be only that which is truth? When you say yes, you shall be ready to awaken. Until then, practice awakening when you can. Isn't that sweet? Keep practicing. Remember, keep stretching. Stretch goals, right? Keep practicing. And again, this is kind of like if you want to jump 3 feet, look at 4 feet. He's asking you to close your eyes and imagine letting go of everything you value. Isn't that like having your eye on the 4 foot mark? Right? It's the same thing. Stretch goals. Verses 18 to 19. Dreams of the past must fade away. As you let go, they disappear into nothingness. As you hold on, they continue through the freedom of your holy desire. Now that's interesting. Dreams of the past must fade away. As you let go, they disappear. But as you hold on, they continue through the freedom of your holy desire. So if I am held, if I am 54 years old, and if something happened to me, maybe even something terrible, you know, my uncle molested me. Not really, by the way. I just want to say it. Nobody molested me. But if my uncle molested me when I was 5 years old, and I'm still angry about it, who's holding on? Who's holding on? You know, lots of people think that you should be upset about something like that. But that's not true. You should be free. That's what you should be. There's no reason to hold on to things from the past. You don't have to. I think there's almost an idea like somehow you're less of an honorable person if you aren't angry at the fact that you were molested or that your parents were alcoholics and neglected you or blah, 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 whatever. Well, sure, let's be less of a person then. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's be less of a person. Let it go. Be happy. You know, you don't have to be this solid person with this past, right? Be happy. Verses 20 to 21. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are his son forever. Because of this oath, you are your own truth, and you shall know it when you are fully ready to know it is so. But as long as you value anything else, that else shall seem to be yours also. Let go of dreams to know yourself completely free of your dreams. Because of who you are, this is truly the only way. So really what this entire chapter is asking us to do is to let go of valuing anything temporary and instead focus on the one thing that is real. Right? That's what it's asking us to do. It's not asking us not to enjoy them. It's not asking us not to love things while they're here. It's that real value, that placing that real value on it, that attachment on it, that belief that my happiness comes from you, my security comes from you, my love comes from you. Nothing deserves that. Right? And instead just be what we are, realize the inherent joy, security, and love in that, and then let everything else come and go. Melchizedek and Jesus have joined within the mind that is you. One was a symbol in the beginning, and the other is the symbol of the completion of you. Jesus is the symbol of the truth of you. Jesus is the symbol of the awakened. He has let go of dreams and holds only onto truth. Jesus is a light in your mind. Jesus lives in your mind as a symbol of all that is true. Look beyond dreams to the heart that shines within. This heart has let go of all dreams forever. Dreams mean nothing to it anymore. This heart is at the heart of you. And that's chapter 7. So, probably a good exercise this week would be to notice whenever we are projecting the idea of real value onto anything outside of us. And when we notice that we project the idea of real value onto something, to in that moment start noticing our own awareness and notice what has real value. Right? So just kind of let your own noticing of giving value shift and give value to that which is real, is permanent, does deserve it. So again, we'll notice whenever we are putting real value on anything. And then as we notice it, we'll say, ah, but let me see what has real value and turn our attention back. And I will stop the recorder and we'll have a bit of silence.